Hello, and welcome to the Word Theater Short Story Podcast, your weekly access to the best short stories read by great actors, recorded live in the U.S. and the U.K. My name is Cedaring Fox. I'm Word Theater's founder and artistic director. For nearly 20 years, we have been bringing together writers and actors to give voice to our shared humanity. Usually, the writers in the room when we do our live events. But it is not always possible, because sometimes we need to bring to life a story from days gone by. This week, with Thanksgiving just barely in the rearview mirror, we thought it would be a treat to share a classic story by O. Henry called Two Thanksgiving Gentlemen. It was performed several years ago by the late, great John Hurd, an actor who was a treasured participant in many Word Theater events in LA, New York, and London. He might be best remembered for his role in the John Hughes classic series Home Alone, but let me tell you, he was one of America's most ferocious talents from his early days on stage, where he was recognized as a shining star, garnering Theater World and Obie Best Actor Awards, then on to film and television, where he earned an Emmy nomination for his role on The Sopranos. O. Henry, our author, was born in 1862. His real name was William Sidney Porter. He died in 1910, but he left behind many fine stories and poems. In fact, the author's legacy includes the O. Henry Award. Since 1919, this annual American Award has been given to short stories of exceptional merit. Here now is John Hurd reading O. Henry's Two Thanksgiving Gentlemen in the way only Johnny Hurd could read it.
There is a day that is ours. There is one day when all we Americans who are not self-made go back to the old home to eat saleratus biscuits and marvel at how much nearer to the porch the old pump looks than it used to. Bless the day. Bless the day. President Roosevelt gives it to us. We can hear him talk of the Puritans, but yeah, we don't remember quite who they are. Bet we can lick them. Anyhow, if they try to land again, Plymouth Rocks. I mean, that sounds more familiar. You know, lots of us have had to come down to hens since the Turkey Trust got its work in. But somebody in Washington is leaking out advance information to them about these Thanksgiving proclamations. The big city east of the Cranberry Bogs has made Thanksgiving Day an institution. The last Thursday in November is the only day in the year on which it recognizes the part of America laying across the ferries. It is the one day that is purely American. Yes, a day of celebration exclusively American. And now for the story, which is to prove to you that we have traditions on this side of the ocean that are becoming older at a much more rapid rate than those of England are, thanks to our Get Up and Enterprise. Stuffy Pete took his seat on the third bench to the right as you enter Union Square from the east, at the walk opposite the fountain. Every Thanksgiving Day, for 9 years, he had taken his seat promptly at 1 o'clock. For every time he had done so, things had happened to him. Charles Dickens-y things had swelled his waistcoat above his heart and equally on the other side. But today, Stuffy Pete's appearance at the annual trysting place seemed to have been rather the result of habit than that of yearly hunger, which, as the philanthropists seem to think, afflicts the poor at such extended intervals. Certainly Pete was not hungry. He had just come from a feast that had left him of his powers barely those of respiration and locomotion. His eyes were like two pale gooseberries, firmly embedded in a swollen and gravy-smeared mask of putty. His breath came in short wheezes. A sanitarial roll of adipose tissue denied a fashionable set to his upturned coat collar. Buttons that had been sewed upon his clothes by kind Salvation fingers a week before flew like popcorn, strewing the earth around him. Ragged as he was, with split shirt open front to the wishbone, but the November breeze, carrying fine snowflakes, brought him only a grateful coolness. For Stuffy Pete was overcharged with the caloric produced by super bountiful dinner, beginning with the oysters and ending with plum pudding, and including, it seemed to him, all the roast turkey and baked potatoes and chicken salad and squash pie and ice cream in the world. Wherefore he sat, gorged, and gazed upon the world with after-dinner contempt. The meal had been an unexpected one. He was passing a red brick mansion near the beginning of Fifth Avenue in which lived two old ladies of ancient family and a reverence for traditions. They even denied the existence of New York. They believed that Thanksgiving Day was declared solely for Washington Square. One of their traditional habits was to station a servant at the postern gate with orders to admit the first hungry wayfarer that came along after the hour of noon had struck and banquet him to a finish. Stuffy Pete happened to pass by on his way to the park, and the seneschals gathered him in and upheld the custom of the castle. After Stuffy Pete had gazed straight before him for 10 minutes, he was conscious of a desire for a more varied field of vision. With a tremendous effort, he moved his head slowly to the left. And then his eyes bulged out fearfully, and his breath ceased, and the roughshod ends of his short legs wiggled, wriggled, and rustled on the gravel. For the old gentleman was coming across Fourth Avenue toward his bench. Every Thanksgiving Day for 9 years, the old gentleman had come there and found Stuffy Pete on the bench. That was a thing that the old gentleman was trying to make a tradition of. Every Thanksgiving Day for 9 years, he had found Stuffy there and had led him to a restaurant and watched him eat a big dinner. They do these things in England unconsciously. But this is a young country, and 9 years, not so bad. The old gentleman was a staunch American patriot and considered himself a pioneer of the American tradition. In order to become picturesque, we must keep doing one thing for a long time without letting it get away from us. Something like collecting the weekly dimes in industrial insurance or cleaning the streets. The old gentleman moved straight and stately toward the institution that he was rearing. Truly, the annual feeding of Stuffy Pete was nothing national in its character, such as the Magna Carta or jam for breakfast was in England, but it was a step. It was almost feudal. It showed at least that a custom was not impossible in New York, America. The old gentleman was tall and thin and 60. He was dressed all in black. And he wore the old-fashioned kind of glasses that won't stay on your nose. And his hair was whiter and thinner than it had been last year. And he seemed to make more use of his big knobby cane with the crooked handle. As his established benefactor came up, Stuffy wheezed and shuddered like some woman's overfat pug when a street dog bristles up at him. He would have flown, but the skill of Santos Dumont could not have separated him from his bench. Well had the myrmidons of the old two ladies done their work. Good morning, said the old gentleman. I'm glad to perceive that the vicissitudes of another year have spared you to move in health about the beautiful world. For the blessing alone this day of Thanksgiving is well proclaimed to each of us. If you will come with me, my man, I will provide you with a dinner that should make your physical being accord with the mental. This is what the old gentleman said every time, every Thanksgiving day for 9 years. The words themselves almost formed an institution. Nothing could be compared with them except the Declaration of Independence. Always before, they had been music to Stuffy's ears. But now he looked up at the old gentleman's face with a tearful agony in his own. The fine snow almost sizzled when it fell upon his perspiring brow. But the old gentleman shivered a little and turned his back to the wind. Stuffy had always wondered why the old gentleman spoke in this speech rather sadly. He didn't know that it was because he was wishing every time that he had a son to succeed him. A son who would come here after he was gone. A son who would stand proudly and strong before some subsequent Stuffy and say, in memory of my father, then it would be an institution. But the old gentleman had no relatives. He lived in rented rooms in one of the decayed old family brownstone mansions in one of the quiet streets east of the park. In the winter, he raised fuchsias in a little conservatory the size of a steamer trunk. And in the spring, he walked in the Easter parade. And in the summer, he lived at a farmhouse in the New Jersey hills. He sat in a wicker chair. Speaking of a butterfly, the Ornithopteria amphrisius, that he hoped to find someday. In the autumn, he fed Stuffy a dinner. These were the old gentleman's occupations. Stuffy Pete looked up at him for half a minute, stewing and helpless in his own self-pity. The old gentleman's eyes were bright with the giving pleasure. His face was getting more lined each year, but his little black necktie was as jaunty a bow as ever. And the linen was beautiful and white, and his gray mustache was curled carefully at the ends. And then Stuffy made a noise that sounded like peas bubbling in a pot. And the speech was intended, as the old gentleman had heard the sounds 9 times before, he rightly construed them into Stuffy's old formula of acceptance. Thank ye, sir. I'll go with ye. I am much obliged. I am very hungry, sir. The coma of repletion had not prevented him from entering Stuffy's mind the conviction that he was the basis of an institution. His Thanksgiving appetite was not his own. It belonged, by all the sacred rites of established custom, if not by the actual statute of limitations, to this kind old gentleman who had preempted it. True, America is free, but in order to establish tradition, someone must be a repeating decimal. The heroes are not all heroes of steel and gold. See one here that wielded only weapons of iron, badly silvered, and tin. The old gentleman led his annual protege southward to the restaurant and to the table where the feast had always occurred. They were recognized. Here comes that old guy, said a waiter, that blows that same bum to a meal every Thanksgiving. The old gentleman sat across the table glowing like a smoked pearl at his cornerstone of future ancient tradition. The waiters heaped the table with holiday food, and Stuffy, with a sigh that was mistaken for hunger's expression, raised knife and fork and carved for himself a crown of imperishable bay. No more valiant hero ever fought his way through the ranks of an enemy. Turkey, chops, soups, vegetables, pies disappeared before him as fast as they could be served. Gorged nearly the uppermost when he entered the restaurant, the smell of food had almost caused him to lose his honor as a gentleman. But he rallied like a true knight. He saw the look of beneficent happiness on the old gentleman's face. A happier look than even the fuchsias on the Ornithopteria amphrisius had ever brought to it. And he had not the heart to see it wane. In an hour, Stuffy leaned back with a battle won. Thank you kindly, sir. He puffed like a leaky steam pipe. Thank you kindly for a hearty meal. Then he arose heavily with glazed eyes and started toward the kitchen. And a waiter spinned him like a top, pointed him toward the door. The old gentleman carefully counted out $1.30 in silver change, leaving 3 nickels for the waiter. They parted, as they did each year. The old gentleman going south, Stuffy going north. Around the first corner, Stuffy turned and stood for 1 minute. Then he seemed to puff out his rags as an owl puffs out his feathers, and he fell. He fell to the sidewalk like a sun-stricken horse. And when the ambulance came, the young surgeon and the driver cursed softly at his weight. But there was no smell of whiskey to justify a transfer to the patrol wagon. So Stuffy and his 2 dinners went to the hospital. There, they stretched him on a bed, and they began to test him for strange diseases, with the hope of getting a chance at some problem with the bear steel. And lo, an hour later, another ambulance brought the old gentleman, and they laid him on another bed and spoke of appendicitis, for he looked good for the bill. But pretty soon, one of the young doctors met with one of the young nurses whose eyes he liked, and he stopped to chat with her about the cases. That nice old gentleman over there now, he said. You wouldn't think that that was almost a case of starvation. Proud old family, I guess. He told me he hadn't eaten a thing for 3 days.
We hope you have enjoyed John Hurd's reading of Two Thanksgiving Gentlemen by O. Henry. If you did, please spread the word that we have this free weekly podcast of great short stories. And think about becoming a contributing member. Word Theater cannot thrive without the support of our enthusiast and patron members. When you become a supporting member, you will have access to our in-person and recorded live Word Theater events for 12 months. And our patron and enthusiast members who can get to Los Angeles on December 18th are invited to a members-only Swedish smorgasbord party and special performance. Did you know that 2023 is our 20th anniversary year, and we are planning phenomenal events in LA, New York, and London? The first author-actor event of our anniversary year will take place live in Santa Monica on January 28th with authors Peter Orner and Marissa Silver, whose stories will be performed by actors to be announced. They're always fantastic. And if you cannot attend, no worries. You can stream it later on your members page. Please visit wordtheater.org, where you can learn all about Word Theater membership and become part of our circle of cultural champions who believe in the power of short stories to make a better world. If you're not in a position to join as a contributor, no worries, just sign up to be a free listener. Special thanks to Jonathan Sachs for composing our theme music and to Jason Lee, our podcast editor. This is Cedaring Fox in Los Angeles. Until next week, signing off.